Hi, everybody. Welcome to FNS Wrestling Podcast. I am your host. Along with me, my co-host and teenage son, Jackson. Say hello, Jack.
Hi.
Well, we finally found the time. Took us a few days, but we're here to talk about a couple different things.
School.
Yeah, school and things are getting ramping back up.
You having to do school and me not doing school, because so far I've gotten KFC lunch and McDonald's breakfast.
Yes.
So that's very fun.
Because your mother and I are busy getting ready for work again, and so yeah, sometimes we don't have time to cook things, and you get to reap the benefits of that and eat crappy food.
Hey, don't say that about my chicken sandwich.
So we're gonna try to talk about SummerSlam and also NXT TakeOver 36, so a couple shows that happened on the weekend. So yeah, I don't know. I don't want to banter too much because we still have to talk about Emergence if we can find time as well at some point. And TakeOver hopefully will be on the back end of this. So do you want to get right into talking about some SummerSlam?
Yay.
Okay, so this one's... I'm usually try to stay positive when I talk about these things, because the negativity you can handle most of the time. But it's going to be hard for this one.
It's SummerSlam, and they kind of just... It was... Yeah.
It was... it was not a great show, but we'll get to our overall thoughts. But I did watch the pre-show match. I'm not sure if you did. I don't think you did. Did you? Big E and Baron Corbin?
Yeah, I did.
You did, eh? It was a barn burner? No, actually. So Big E ended up winning this match with the big ending.
To win the briefcase he rightfully won that was stolen from him by essentially a hobo.
Yep, because if you steal somebody's property, it's yours until you set up some agreement to get it back, apparently, right? I can just steal whatever I want, and then they have to fight me to win it back,
yeah,
I guess.
And I think it's like they have too many... feuds over like possessions or
stealing
whatever.
Things well because they
like,
don't
no just over possessions like Nakamura wins the crown from
right
Corbin because he stole it,
that's the same
and
thing
that sends Corbin into poverty for some reason.
That's
Bliss,
where Corbin learned that you just have to steal things and then they're yours.
Bliss and Marie
right? Yep,
feuding over doll.
Yep.
And these guys are feuding over a briefcase that Corbin stole from the rightful winner.
So this seems to be...
That's okay. McIntyre and Jinder are feuding over motorcycles and swords.
It seems like WWE falls in love with certain things for a little bit, and then they just keep going with it. Like the whole reluctant tag teams was a thing for quite a while.
Where,
and
like,
now it's like...
Right now it's like feuding over a... item possession.
Exactly. Which is amazing. Just so creative, right? Not lazy storytelling at all.
Feels like they wanted something for the Money in the Bank, and then they just looked in the Lost and Found bin.
Right. Hey, something. Let's recycle this, right? Like, right. Just copy it over to this one. I don't know. Big E won with the big ending. I thought it was a solid pre-show match. They're never going to be too amazing.
It was fine, I guess. It was a pre-show match. Like, I like his finisher, and that's pretty much it.
Yeah, so Big E did all his usual stuff. He looked good. My first time actually seeing the new Corbin, like I've been keeping up by listening to people talk about it and reading, but I hadn't actually seen him. He looks like he's committed to this, right? Like he seems like one of those guys where he doesn't care what they ask him to do. He'll do it to the best of his ability. And some people seem to like this character. I think it's somewhat interesting. As long as he's like doing the thing where he's poor, but to him, like, it's because he has such a lavish, extravagant lifestyle. So to a normal person, like, wasn't he asking for like $100,000 to get through a couple days? So to me, that's kind of funny because he's just out of touch and
right,
has no
but
idea.
I really find it stupid that like losing a crown to send him
that's
a
true
tailspin.
That's
like,
a little bit
just
yeah.
Losing a crown. Like you think the second a king's gonna lose his crown, like he's poor immediately? No, he's probably not gonna be like as wealthy. He'll probably go into a decline, but he's not gonna be freaking homeless the next day.
And that's what makes this feel like their target audience is little kids, right? Because they'll just understand, ooh, his crown got stolen, now he's sad and poor, no longer the king. I don't know. The match was fine. I'm happy with the outcome because I don't know, I like Big E and I want him to have that briefcase and cash it in, to be honest, and win some sort of title. So I'm happy with the ending. The match was fine. Yeah, and we move into the main show.
It was boring, but it's a pre-show.
Yep, I don't expect much out of pre-show matches.
And just to compare, I think NXT's pre-show is like half an hour.
Yes, it is.
Positive.
But they don't have matches though, right? They just talk generally.
No, they did though.
This time they did, but usually
they have been lately too. Because remember, there was
did
even
we watch
Zoe...
the pre-show? We did, right?
I didn't.
For TakeOver, did I? Well, who
I
was
don't
it?
It was Holland and
Baxter. Oh, I did watch it.
Yeah, or like Takeover Stand and Deliver, there was like Stark and Tony Storm. So
right.
I don't know. I think that's a comparison. You don't need to stuff it with all this crap and Booker T on a crummy panel.
And it kind of sucks for Big E that your Money in the Bank guy
is only can get on the pre-show. They like cooled him off immensely.
Yes.
So that like, oh, they cashed in. Like
that seems to be the thing, right? They win the
championship. Which I can kind of see why they would do that. But at the same time, it's like, don't you want to keep them strong?
They win the suitcase or the briefcase and then they go on a losing streak is almost always what happens.
Right, or like a down period.
Yep. So the opening match of SummerSlam proper is RK-Bro versus Omos and AJ Styles for the Raw Tag Team Champions. Omos, whatever it is.
Omos.
The Raw Tag Team Championships.
And so the most recent development was like the oddball tag team. And Randy has finally come to respect Riddle. I guess Riddle saved him from an attack. He's like, I respect you.
That's right. So we do get new champions. Orton hits the RKO out of nowhere, pins AJ Styles.
As you can see, in a very original ending, which I appreciate. I think they need to shake things up a bit. You know?
Right. I like this match. I thought it was a pretty good opener. It was a little bit short. Like, I think this was a 7-minute match, basically. But I was never bored. The pace was good. Stayed pretty steady throughout. And Omos wasn't asked to do much. Like, he was in the ring for maybe like a minute and a half.
I am happy they lost to you because I find particularly Omos really boring.
So, he wasn't asked to do much. And what he was asked to do, I thought he did fine. And the other three are just really strong performers, right? And the crowd was really behind RK-Bro, which helps, I guess. I really like Riddle. His in-ring style is awesome. AJ didn't really show any signs of slowing down here either because he's not a young guy anymore. And the backflip he did off the apron into a reverse DDT looked flawless. It looked like the same thing he was doing 15 years ago, you know? So the crowd got the win that they wanted because they seemed to be behind RK-Bro. I didn't pick RK-Bro because remember my thought was because they've gotten over sort of organically that Vince will be like, no, you guys got over without me.
You heard it here. I picked it. You did not.
Right.
That's 1-0 me.
So I thought this was a smart choice just because it puts the crowd in a good mood because they got a result they really wanted. I don't know. What did you feel about this match?
I thought it was a solid match for the main roster. You're going to hear me say that a lot because if I'm comparing this to anything I enjoy watching, it's not good. But for these standards, it was good. It was pretty short, but...
and compared to some other things coming up.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a good opener for the main roster pay-per-view. Like, the crowd's into RK-Bro. It was solid from an in-ring standpoint.
A solid opener for a really bad pay-per-view, I guess, is the way to look at it. Exactly. Not to give away our final thoughts, but I think it's going to be pretty clear pretty quickly. Especially coming up with the next match on the card.
Oh, yeah.
Which is Eva Marie with Doudrop versus Alexa Bliss. I believe I took Doudrop. Eva Marie, right? And you took Bliss?
Did
I mean, you can check. I think I did, just to be different.
You did.
I
thought you took Bliss, so that's funny.
I was wrong. Alexa Bliss won after hitting a DDT.
I didn't think I'd be up too.
This match was bad. I know in our preview show I talked about looking forward to this because I was hoping it was going to be
so
bad.
It wasn't even bad enough to be enjoyable. No. It was just like, ugh.
And that was my hope, that it would go so far into bad it would come back and be funny a little bit. But there was no magic here, which is one of my pet peeves. I was hoping to really spice it up with some magic.
It wasn't even like bad enough to be entertaining. It was just like
kind of bad and not really.
It was boring.
Eva Marie did next to nothing.
I don't even think it was that long, but it's still boring.
And what she did try to do wasn't good. She's not ready to be on TV, let alone on a Big Four pay-per-view.
Which is weird because it's been at least 5 years since she was first on the main roster, and she's still not good.
She's brute. Hey, Big E, you can go on the pre-show because we got to make room for Eva Marie, Alexa Bliss. Poor Big E,
right.
Langston. The nicest thing I can say about this, I guess, is it met my expectations because I expected it to be bad, and it was. I don't know. Doudrop, what was she doing at the end? She ended up announcing Eva Marie as the loser of the match.
Because Eva Marie's thing is like she's been announcing herself as the winner.
Ah, I see.
And like, or in her quote unquote return match, Doudrop competed. Remember when they were pretending not to know who it was?
Right.
And she announced herself as the winner of the match. So I guess that's been her thing.
So is this the end of Doudrop?
Yeah,
and
they're facing on Raw or whatever. I know it's dumb, but who cares?
Of course. Yeah, this was bad. It was had no business being on here. They did not really do anything. How did you feel about the big computer generated doll that was out for the entrance for Bliss's entrance? It just looked ridiculous to me. I don't know. It was bad. Ridiculous. This was bad. I think it's like one of those things that's objectively bad, because usually I try to phrase things like I didn't like it or whatever, but I'm just going to say
it.
This was bad.
If you like this, I encourage you to get some help.
So then we move into what I thought was better, which was for the United States Championship, right? Damian Priest facing off against Sheamus. And Priest did win the title. I think we both picked this one. Can you double check for me?
Yeah, I will check.
He wins with his spinning kick and then a reckoning.
We both picked Priest. So it's 3-1.
And he had ripped off Sheamus's protective mask near the end before the kick and the reckoning.
And they made the point that he also beat Sheamus last time because he took the mask off. So if there's anything to take away from this match, it's that take off Sheamus's mask. And he is dead.
The mask is where he derives his power.
Right. And anybody wearing a protective mask, if they're unprotected, they are defenseless.
Right.
Essentially.
So we have a new U.S. champion. I actually thought this was a pretty good slugfest of a match, especially in the beginning and near the end, with both of them hitting some impactful stuff along the way. Could have been a bit shorter. I think it dragged a tiny bit, but there was like a lull in the middle when Sheamus was applying submissions and stuff that wasn't that interesting. But the rest of it, I thought, was pretty good.
Yeah.
The crowd didn't seem to be too into this. But again, they just watched Alexa Bliss and Eva Marie that kind of sucked any energy out of the place. So I don't really blame them. It's too bad for Priest and Sheamus because I don't think this was bad. I'm not sure Priest is connecting as a babyface, though. And I don't think ripping off the mask and attacking Sheamus' face is a very babyface thing to do.
I guess because Sheamus is a heel.
Yes. Sheamus isn't exactly fresh. I mean, he is still pretty good in the ring, but I don't think...
He's pretty boring.
The U.S. Championship does nothing for him, right? Like, he doesn't need that
thing.
He doesn't
even do anything for the title either.
Priest strikes look good. He has a pretty cool moveset, I think. Ooh, I hate using that word. A pretty cool set of moves. So I think his future is still pretty bright.
That's the same thing.
And he just needs a little bit more... character definition, but I think it makes sense to put
the
title on him.
He's party boy.
What do you think?
He wants to live forever.
That was back from NXT days.
Yeah. Or at first it was hard to tell, and remember, like, he won the title, and then you kind of turned.
Wasn't there
face.
Hot tubs involved?
Right. That was the thing. Yeah.
Party guy.
I thought this was solid. Sheamus does seem to be good at these kind of, like you said, slugfest type matches.
Yep.
Like, that's kind of similar to that match he had at Mania with Riddle, where he won the title, which was. Pretty good, I think.
Yep. Yeah, he's a good wrestler, right? It's just he's been around so long,
right.
There's not much
interesting
to do with him.
Sheamus, he's just kind of boring at this point. Like, I don't know, I feel like the last time he got kind of rejuvenated was teaming with Cesaro.
Yes.
And then that kind of fizzled out.
The bar
was
cool.
A good team.
So this was one of my favorite matches on the show, and I didn't even think it was
great.
It's
not a high bar, though, I guess.
No, it's not at all.
But, and I like Priest, so it's good for him to get a title. I do like them. Well, he's probably not young like they want. He's someone new for them, so
yeah, exactly.
I like them taking a chance on someone new. And given how crummy Sheamus' title run was, did they really need to take it off Riddle? Like, I know Keith Lee was probably supposed to win it. Like, Keith Lee was supposed to win, right? But then he's been dealing with whatever.
Yep.
And so then they gave it to Riddle, but so obviously he wasn't a planned champion, but then... Given how things turned out, did he really need to drop it? I'm thinking.
Probably not.
But good for Priest, probably one of the better matches on the show, but
and it was
that's
like
not saying much.
Pretty good, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So then we get the SmackDown Tag Team Championship match, which is the Mysterios, Dominic, and Father Rey versus the Uso Brothers. And the Usos,
Uso Brothers? No one says that.
I just did.
I don't know if I've ever heard anyone call them the Usos.
They are
brothers.
And I believe we both picked the Usos here, correct?
I'm almost positive. Without even looking, I'm almost positive.
And we were right. They do retain after a double super kick to Rey and then a splash, the top rope splash by one of the Uso brothers to win the match. I don't think this match was necessarily bad, but I personally didn't really get into it. Dominic had a couple sloppy spots early on. He spent a lot of time isolated and being taunted, and I just didn't find it very interesting. We obviously get the eventual Rey hot tag that was a bit underwhelming, I thought. Before Dominic got taken out, then Rey took the pinfall, sort of a 619. I don't know. I don't think Dominic's good.
He's just probably green is the right word.
Yeah, but
I think
I heard it somewhere else. He's like the same age as Jungle Boy, MJF. And who's had access to better training and everything than this kid has? If he's not...
He's got the PC. He's in WWE. And his dad's freaking Rey Mysterio.
If his dad weren't Rey Mysterio, this guy would be nowhere near TV. And that's annoying to me, right? That's just nepotism. And it's not... That's holding somebody else who's probably better than him back to me. So
for sure.
The lengthy segment of Dominic being isolated by the Usos wasn't interesting. The finishing sequence looked pretty good, I guess. But I didn't really get into this match. And I really don't think Dominic's good. But that's just me. What did you think?
Yeah, he's not that great. It was fine, I guess. I don't remember. Tungsten was like...
A few days ago now.
I'm trying to think. Like 5 days ago at least. He's okay, and I thought Rey and the Usos did a fine job, but I think that the red hair at the back of the Usos' head is stupid, but
I don't even think I noticed until you told me.
And I thought it was a fine match, but honestly didn't do much for me. Like, the Usos are one of the best tag teams they got, and this is what they accomplished on one of their biggest shows.
That is correct. No, it was fine.
I'm not super thrilled with that, and I can't even say I hope Dominic turns on Rey, because I just don't really care.
I agree. He doesn't interest me at all, and I don't find his work good. So it's nothing I want to see.
And Rey's still good, but I feel like he hasn't done anything interesting. Like, I think the last interesting thing he did was feud with Andrade, and at most recent, that was end of 2019.
Right. So a couple years ago.
Yeah.
The next match there's a bit of controversy there. It's Bianca Belair defending the SmackDown Women's Championship against Sasha Banks. So I didn't know, because I guess I wasn't following very closely, that Sasha was out, because I guess it was sort of a little bit publicized before the show.
I had no clue. And then Carmella came out, and oh my God, I was pissed. So,
we were mad, because Carmella comes out, like, you're replacing Sasha with that.
It's Carmella. Right. Two, Belair's had unnecessary defenses against her, like, three times.
And I was looking forward to Sasha Bianca, because they had a really good match at WrestleMania, so I was okay with the rematch. So yeah, it looks like Carmella is going to be the opponent, and then basically, surprise surprise, it's the return of Becky Lynch, who comes out. I don't remember if she even spoke or whatever, but she ends up getting the match instead of Carmella.
Yeah, she just challenged. She took out Carmella, challenged Belair.
Right. And then so that match starts. Lynch, as they're going for a handshake, hits a cheap shot forearm and the manhandle slam.
Rock bottom,
and
basically.
And poor Bianca Belair is just destroyed in a squash match.
Just over 20 seconds.
On a major show for a championship. It was definitely unexpected. I feel like this is them trying to... I know they're trying to say they're not competing with AEW, but man, there were some returns here. I think they are trying to get some attention back on
I
them.
Feel like Becky would have returned regardless, but I think the way they went about it had to change with Sasha.
I don't think she was returning at this point. I don't think she's ready to work a full match, and I think that's part of why they had this squash, because all of a sudden they
heard she's been training, like she's pretty much
she's
ready to go.
Pretty much ready, but I don't think this was... Because they just did this to Belair just because? Because
they're freaking idiots.
Although in our preview, I remember I said, like, I have a feeling that Vince hasn't been thrilled
with this title. You're probably right. I honestly hope you're right, but that still doesn't excuse this.
Yeah, it's really unfortunate. So from Sasha pulling out to
Why can't the squash go the other way?
So being replaced by Carmella to the surprise appearance of Becky Lynch and an impromptu, like, 30-second match. This was definitely a roller coaster. I feel awful for Bianca Belair. This type of treatment is sometimes tough for people to get over, right? Like, she just got buried here, and I don't like that term because I think it's overused, but I don't know what else to call this.
What else do you call this, right?
Yeah, like, she just massively
and
disrespected.
She was one of, like, the best, probably, female stars that NXT has produced as of recently, along with Shayna Baszler.
How does this help Becky?
And they screwed it up. Well, yeah, and, like...
If she's ready to have a match, you could have had a nice...
This would have been a great match.
Right.
If she wasn't ready,
and put her
over. It shouldn't have happened.
Want.
If she was ready, then this should have been an actual match.
I feel like this is them reacting to AEW.
No, and they probably failed. I don't think they would ever top that.
I agree.
It's CM Punk.
So, as I suspected, right?
I think they're in the wrong either way. Like, either they should have given us a good match, or they should have just done something else. I mean, I don't know who else on... Like... Yes, it already happened, but I'd be more okay with another Bayley match if we had to do that.
Yep. I don't know. I feel like Vince wasn't impressed with the title run as I suspected, but I didn't expect it to be done like this.
I don't think it's entirely her fault. Like, it's creative.
And the crowd was definitely happy to see Becky back, but again, we have an immediate comparison with the response to CM Punk, and it wasn't even close, right? But So yeah, this was also just not good. So I don't really.
Especially because it's Bianca, but just in general, I don't really want a straight up squash match on SummerSlam.
Another one. Well, right. There's like basically, I mean, I guess like, that Eva Marie SummerSlam. Wasn't a squash, but it was pretty close.
There right. Wasn't much it's going SummerSlam. On there. There's supposed to be big matches, not something you would see on AEW Dark.
Right. Speaking of squashes, the next match we get is Jinder Mahal facing off against Drew McIntyre. I think we both took Drew, right? I would hope.
Yes, we did.
So this was, you know, two big guys working WWE style.
5-3.
Jinder got a little bit in to start, and then suplexes by Drew, Future Shock, Claymore. It's over in, I don't know, a couple minutes, five minutes. Could it have been 5 minutes even? Probably not.
I have no clue.
Drew gets his sword out, chases Jinder and his crew away.
Oh my god, that's so stupid.
I don't know. It's hard to have an opinion on this because it was over,
it
right?
Was before short, it started. Pretty short, but for what it was, I was bored. Like, I can almost guarantee I was half paying attention during this, and just the visual after of him chasing away people with a sword. What's he going to do if he catches them? Stab them?
And I've said it before in our preview show, our episode of this. They wasted all of the backstory between these two guys. Instead of tying this into anything from reality, they decided to make it about a sword and a motorcycle, right? So, I don't know. This was two squashes in a row on a major pay-per-view. I thought that was an interesting, and by interesting, I mean strange choice. This match could have easily been on TV, right? Like, how does this belong on one of your big four pay-per-views? Especially if this show is going to be what it was, four, pushing 5 hours with the pre-show, right? Like, there's no need for several matches that were on this card. I feel like this is just a Vince, like, more is more, right? Like, whereas I'd rather have you give me five or six matches, like the average takeover, and they're just amazing, and we get out of there in 2.5 hours.
That's actually what they've been doing lately on
right.
the non
Since pandemic, they've been short, the main roster pay-per-views.
Right, or like, I remember like Backlash or WrestleMania, Backlash, sorry, didn't mean to
How
offend
dare
anyone.
You? How dare you?
It was like, I remember like for the past bit, it's been five or six matches, yep. Like other than with the exception of like, I think the pay-per-views between Mania and SummerSlam have been like, reasonable size,
and this one was just a slog. We watched it all like in one shot, basically live.
Yeah,
I was
literally saying
because
I don't think I would be able to make myself finish it the next day because I'd probably see what happened.
Because once you stop, you don't go back to it. You don't want right. to go back to it. Yeah,
I would probably get spoiled, and two, even if I didn't get spoiled, I probably wouldn't want to go back to it.
No, it was a big waste of time. I was not happy. We then get the Raw Women's Championship triple threat match with Nikki A.S.H. You know what my favorite thing is when they go almost a superhero, Nikki A.S.H. That's the regular, like, why? Why are you putting it in front and behind?
Shouldn't it be Ash?
Redundant.
Two A's?
Anyways.
And shouldn't it, like, why can't they just say Nikki Ash? Why does that not work?
She's been booked as a joke and is now defending against Charlotte and Rhea Ripley.
I can't tell if this was better or worse than the other women's title match.
So I got this one right, and you did not, if I remember correctly.
So that's
5-4, I think.
5-4.
Is that right? Yeah.
Yes. Damn it.
So Nikki taps out to the figure eight, and Charlotte wins the title. And again, my reason for choosing Charlotte was because Charlotte, mostly, right? So this match was fine, I guess. It held my interest, but it was never really very exciting, I didn't find. Nikki's definitely committed to this like comedy character, but it sure doesn't work for me. There may be a place for her in this character.
I even heard this is her thing, but like,
as far as I've heard too.
Did she come out of a mental asylum and then come up with
this?
But
maybe, like, I don't know, but it might be fine, but not as your championship character, right? This is not a championship gimmick.
Like, Raw's, at the end of the day, whether it's the best or not, it's their flagship show, and I don't think she belongs there in this capacity.
Nope. Rhea and Charlotte seem to work pretty well together. They've had numerous matches since, like, Mania.
And most of them have sucked.
But that also means the matchup isn't really fresh, and Nikki didn't add much for me. It felt like she was, like, easily dismissed and sent to the floor over and over again.
I feel like
stretches.
While it wasn't a great match, the triple threat at WrestleMania Backlash that had Asuka,
yeah,
that probably shook it up a little more than this did.
It was like Nikki would get thrown out, the other two would wrestle, Nikki would come back in and get one or two things in, then get thrown out again. Like, she was
right, she
an
made
afterthought.
Like a very slight difference.
Yep, she was an afterthought, and the match did little to change that sort of opinion. Charlotte obviously looked the strongest. She fought off the joint efforts of the other two for a little bit with no trouble. Her corkscrew moonsault on the floor was pretty cool, I have to admit.
Yeah, she doesn't do a ton. I know I've seen her do it before, but...
It kind of felt like this was two actual wrestlers trying to have a match while a superhero, like, cosplayer just kept interrupting while they swatted her away, and she would just keep coming back. Charlotte was presented as though she's kind of on another level from the other two, and I thought the outcome was predictable because I picked it. So I thought the match was okay, but I'm starting to be like, I think I just don't like main roster style matches. I just can't. And it sucks to say that because I want to like wrestling, but like I see better stuff than this on a regular episode of Dynamite all the time, right? So this is one of your big four, and I've seen nothing this far in.
They accomplished far less in twice the time of Dynamite, probably. Right. Like,
did you like this match at all?
It was, like you said, just okay, but I'm not really watching SummerSlam of all things
for okayness,
for just okay.
Right.
Hell, I'm not watching a pay-per-view, a WWE, quote-unquote, like one of their bigger shows for just okay, when I can watch, like you said, weekly TV show that gives me better than okay. In fact, good, sometimes even great.
Amazing sometimes. Like, right. We're on the edge of our seats and making, like, gasping
sometimes.
Like,
for example, Kingston Penta versus the Bucks as a recent example.
Yep.
Like, stuff like that. Or even, like, something as short notice, like that Sydal Omega match that,
yep,
I really like.
It was great.
Right? Like, and I guess, like, the only thing I can really remember that was of note is that moonsault. Mm-hmm. And that's it. And I don't know. I guess, like, Nikki cashing in was, I guess, her winning the Money in the Bank was a surprise and everything, but what a waste.
Yeah, I think they were like, oh, this is really lame. Let's get the belt off her. And when they don't know what to do, what do? Put it on Charlotte.
No, I think they just had no plan for the Money in the Bank, but it exists, so they had to give it to someone. And it's mm-hmm. just like, was this just a waste? So you can have one more title to Charlotte's accolade?
I guess.
Like, how many times, like, they're just giving her titles over and over again. Someone, like, her reign at Money in the Bank, it lasted a day.
They fired the rest of her family. They want to keep her.
Like, in 2019, one of her reigns lasted less than a day.
Yep.
Like, they're just piling reigns on top of reigns for absolutely no reason.
Because she's a flair.
And, on top of that, she wore Thanos gear, and it was 1,000 times worse than Seth Rollins.
Nice. We then get just, like, even the segments, which I didn't talk about many of them because who cares, but, like, the Miz Morrison segment in the ring.
Oh, yeah, I think that was
just because this show wasn't long enough, right? Like, we're already going to push 5 hours.
There was also the Nakamura thing earlier when
I don't
he
even
just
remember.
Came out and Boogs.
Oh, yeah. And I'm like, does he even have a match? And you're like, no. And it was just Boogs playing the guitar and Nakamura coming out, right? And that was it.
Yeah, the Miz and Morrison segment was stupid.
Yeah, it was like about the Dripstick 2000.
It was like 500 notches below Stone Cold Beer Bath. Like,
and nobody brought it with them. So then, oh, where is it? And they start to argue or bicker. And then Xavier Woods comes out with it, who does like a Scott Hall survey question about it. And then, surprise,
yeah,
surprise,
like a Scott Hall attire, I think it was, like an homage.
Soaks Miz and Morrison. And this was awful, man. I actually like Miz and Morrison's chemistry together.
I think they were cool when Morrison first came back and they're a legit tag team. And then they just, first there was like, they started descending into comedy. Then there was Bad Bunny. Then there's the Dripstick. And they just descended further and further into crap.
This just feels like, again, the target audience is like 6 to 9 year olds. You know what I mean? Because, oh, they forgot their stuff and someone took it. Wait, do they have to have a match now for the Dripstick 2000? Because we know that if you steal something of someone else, it's yours. So there's going to be a handicap match.
Morrison just turned on...
Yeah, I saw a bit of that,
too. Turned on Morrison, sorry.
Yeah.
And, like, I think they forget there's still a lot... Like, I guarantee there's probably more adult fans...
Yes.
...than child.
But, again, they're hoping to hook in the young ones because they'll have them forever. It's like when the cigarette companies were targeting children.
As they get older, they won't because it's stupid.
But they'll just keep appealing to the... But then they get hooked like we do, and they still watch this crap just because I've always watched this crap, and I have trouble. Like, when you finally said, listen, I don't want to watch, you were like, no more empty arena stuff, right? So that's why we stopped Raw and SmackDown.
Oh, yeah, I can't.
Otherwise, I never would have stopped because I've just always watched it, and I'm happy with the decision because it's freed up 5 hours a week, right? That plus whatever we would spend talking about it down here, probably. So I'm totally fine. And
yeah, it was already bad enough, I think, watching it, and then I can't handle the empty arena. It's just like, that's why I honestly never wanted to watch Impact. Also, because at the time we started recording, like the podcast, there was Wrestle House.
Yes, and it was awful. Which
I
also didn't watch.
I can't handle the empty arena. It's like, and I don't know if that's and better now I just, or worse than Thunderdome. But
I listen to people review it I trust, and if they, after a few weeks, are consistently telling me it's awesome or a bunch of things are awesome, maybe I'll check it out, you know what I mean? But I until then.
That'll happen when picks fly.
Because the big thing was everyone, oh, they're just saving all their good stuff until audiences, the crowds are back. Nope.
What do you
they're
call the sword same stuff? Garbage. No, they're not saving anything good.
No. So yeah, this was awful. Moving on, we get, speaking of awful, nice segue, Lashley versus Goldberg.
Oh, we didn't talk about Edge Rollins.
Oh, right. So we got to talk about that one. So Edge versus Rollins, Rollins ends up winning, or sorry, he loses. He taps to a crossface sort of sleeper thing from Edge, right? So, man, this is where I don't understand, because I read a whole bunch of reviews and I was telling you, I see 4.5 stars, 5 stars for this
there
match.
There was nothing that even touched that range on this show, especially not the Edge match.
I don't think this was a bad match, but I didn't really enjoy it very much. The pace was really slow to start.
That's Mean Ross. That's the style. I can't handle that.
Rollins dominated for a while and I found myself losing focus deep into this show. So you're putting on some slow action to start and I've already sat through a bunch and a bunch of
and
it was
I just
crap.
Think Edge is just, I don't think he has it anymore. I really, like, I thought maybe at least it was the slow, even slower than this, Roman Reigns style, yeah, holding him back.
But I think it was more the slow because we're building to an epic match and it's going to pick up. I just didn't feel the epic part came in.
No, yeah,
but a lot of people did, so what do I know?
Edge just shouldn't be here. It really doesn't make sense.
So there's a neck breaker off the top after a lengthy setup, I thought, by Edge. And then that sort of slows Rollins and turns the tide. And then Edge hits all of his signature moves. Rollins hit his superplex Falcon Arrow that always looks cool. He threw in a glam slam, right, sort of as a reference to his wife. And it was a back-and-forth match from after the sort of beginning stretch. And I struggled with it, to be honest, at times, and maybe not watching weekly and not getting into the storyline or whatever. But I didn't feel any of the drama that I'm supposed to feel in this match.
Right, and I feel like you would feel like the people giving it 4 stars, the main roster people,
yeah, maybe
they're
like
shills
in right hooked in with the story or whatever. But I mean, it was probably a good match. These guys are both really good professional wrestlers. I just didn't care who won because I don't know what the stakes are. I wasn't interested in the story behind it, and the near falls and like desperation moves to try and win didn't really do much for me.
Yeah,
so, I mean,
the match style on the main roster just doesn't work for me.
It was a good match, but like 4.5, 5 stars. Come on, people. I don't see that at all.
I just don't like the style, so I didn't like this. I guess it was probably good if you like the main roster.
Yep.
And if you enjoy this, more power to you. But I did not.
I think what this we have to differentiate. This was a very solid sports entertainment match. Right? It's not wrestling.
It's not a wrestling match. At this point, it's like distinguished itself from wrestling. And I don't know. I just don't like Edge being here. I don't like him existing in current WWE. I don't like his matches. I don't like his face. I liked it better when he returned and he had the shaved
he started
beard.
To do the brood again. That would be cool, but
I don't
they couldn't
even like
commit
that.
To that fully. So.
No, but he's old, so he shouldn't be doing anything here.
And
Rollins didn't even wear a really good attire. It was just okay.
So getting back to the crap on this show.
Oh, and you picked that one right and I did not, so now we're tied.
Nice. Lashley versus Goldberg, which us and everyone in the universe picked this one correctly, I would assume. So Lashley retains after a
good news. Goldberg wasn't wearing those weird shorts this time, I think.
Lashley retains after a ref stoppage due to Goldberg's injured leg. Lashley then continues the attack after the match with a chair, and Goldberg's kid was put in a hurt
Gage.
Lock, right?
I actually do remember this. This was really bad.
Really bad.
I think the Goldberg matches that have worked because of, like, it was fast, it was intense. Like, his return match, the Ziggler match,
But he can't do anything anymore.
He can't do anything, exactly. He couldn't even do the jackhammer. He literally dropped Undertaker on his head.
It starts to look dangerous, and that's the problem as you're, like, when your thing is power and explosiveness, that doesn't age well, right? Like, Jericho can still do a bunch of his stuff because it was never about, like, picking people up and holding them and dropping them safely.
Right. Even though Goldberg's still jacked, like it doesn't matter.
No. So this
and
one,
like,
sorry, go ahead.
It was slow. It was boring. And then it ended just like he hit him in the leg a bunch of times and like rammed him into the post, and then it's just like, it was probably the most boring ending they could have chosen.
And anything Goldberg did, I was just like, please let Lashley be safe here, right? Like, come out of this.
If I had my way, it would have been a spear by Lashley, and it would have been over.
I think you give Goldberg a spear right out of the gate for a near fall, and then just squash him. Because he can still spear. That doesn't involve him picking up anybody. But anyways, Goldberg dominated.
Especially picking up Lashley, that would suck.
One thing I already didn't like is Goldberg dominates early on and Lashley needs to get help from MVP. Like, way to make your champion look strong against a 50-year-old.
Goldberg's like a senior citizen, so like...
And then a couple awkward landings from Goldberg due to age or rust or both, and he just looked sloppy.
Right, I find that it's really stupid that your, like, probably prime world champion has trouble dealing with an aging old star from the 90s. Like,
so the injury finish isn't really satisfying, I don't think, for anyone. I guess the theory is they're trying to save Goldberg from a pin or submission.
For Saudi Arabia.
Right. This was, again, and it's a few times, a waste of time. Goldberg looked old. Lashley looked weak selling for him so long, even at all at the beginning and needing help. The best part is it looks like this will continue after the attack
That's
on
what
Goldberg's
I'm saying.
Son.
And even better, it could happen in Saudi Arabia, which Goldberg in Saudi Arabia, that's had a great track record. Shall we look back at it? He took the title from Bray Wyatt, and he nearly dropped Undertaker on his head.
Yes, he almost killed Undertaker. And I heard boos for Goldberg multiple times in this match.
Oh, I would boo him out of the building. I would probably take a sign dedicated to trashing on Goldberg.
So then we move into the main event for this masterpiece
of a show.
Which I
dislike equally as much.
So it's John Cena versus Roman Reigns for the Universal Championship. We both picked this correctly. Does that mean we tied? That's lame.
I know. I was like, I was up too, and I was like looking forward to that because one, I would win. Two, that would. But then I realized, oh yeah, you got that right. Oh, you got that right. And now we're
so Reigns retains, as everyone knew, with his spear. And then the big surprise here, again, feels like they're frantically trying to not to deal with their non-competition, right? So Brock Lesnar appears after the match, obviously. Match-wise, first...
Also, he looks terrible. If y'all haven't seen his new look...
So match first, I thought it was a slow pace to start this. They were each like trying to get an advantage.
You can thank Roman.
And then they just sort of pace around when they can't. So it was like, try to get an advantage, walk around a little bit. Then you get Roman in control and it's still slow because he
Or like he was like standing on the stairs or whatever and posing with the title.
Walking
like,
around, engaging the crowd, talking to Cena between moves.
It's not even like he was hitting like an actual move on Cena. It would be sometimes he would just like beat him down a bit and then just be like, I'm the head of the table. My name's Roman Reigns. I got Paul Heyman with me. Like,
it felt kind of similar like to the Edge Rollins formula earlier.
Except worse.
Cena obviously got his chance. Eventually, things picked up a little bit. There's some near falls.
Like,
a nice AA through the announce table looked cool.
For me, Cena's like, he's not the guy to really pick this up enough because just the way he wrestles nowadays. And like, the way he picks it up is his moves of doom, which at like, it's a backdrop suplex thing, like spin out a fist
shoulder
drop.
Shoulder tackle.
Yeah, shoulder tackle's a weak looking slam, a fist drop, and maybe an AA where it's just he flips the guy over on his back.
He did hit a super AA in this one for a near fall. I thought the second half of this match was better, even though I never thought Cena could win, and that obviously hurts it a little bit. There was some decent near falls for both of the guys. I guess this wasn't a bad match either, but the first half I found really plodding and kind of dull.
I did think it kind of sucked because like, it just doesn't feel like a match because I don't think anyone realistically would be down for that.
I saw four stars all over the place for
like,
this
Like, if this is real, I don't think Roman would ever get the time that he had to taunt as much as he did.
Yeah. Then Brock shows up. I guess that might be the most exciting thing on this show. Here's my question, though. So who's normally with Brock Lesnar all the time?
Paul Heyman.
So he's kind of busy. So does this mean Brock's going to have to talk for himself?
Oh that's going to be... Okay, if...
Don't they have to put him with somebody?
If they do this feud... I will watch this feud just to see Brock actually speak. I think that'd be really funny.
I don't know what they're going to do.
You remember in, like, 2013, the gif or whatever of him, like, screaming? And it sounds like a squeal or whatever.
So I'm that's interested really to see, because he can't be doing his own promos.
I almost want him to, because I feel like that'd be really funny bad.
So do we have, like... Heyman betray Reigns and go back to because Reigns doesn't need Heyman, right? So
But I feel like I like it. I think Heyman has a good role with Reigns.
For sure.
And Heyman's been with Lesnar for like a bajillion years. He's finally doing something else. And I don't know. I feel
my choice? Zelina Vega gets out of the ring, stops wrestling, manages and just manages. Roman? No, manages Brock Lesnar. Because she can talk for him and get her out of the ring because they don't really want. They
yeah,
don't
I'd rather Heyman
have any
goes
use
to,
for her, really.
I'd rather Heyman goes to. Lesnar, because they've always together, and then Zelina goes to Roman, and I think that'd be cool because she could interfere, but then no one would attack her because female person.
Right.
But I thought this was lame. It was boring. It was slow. Roman Reigns would do one thing that was like, yeah, and then he would walk around and taunt the fans, yep. Get booed, whatever.
And I get that's his character, but it doesn't mean that it makes for interesting matches,
and
right?
He could probably wrestle better than he's doing. Like, he doesn't have to wrestle this slow pace. I've been saying that every time, but yet here they go. They continue to do it.
Yep.
This is probably the main roster style, but you slowed it down by, like, it's like you watch a normal main roster match, and then on YouTube you, like, slow it down to, like, 0.5 or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
Instead of the normal. And so and the result was predictable. I didn't buy Cena any of the near falls for a second because he wasn't going to win. And Brock Lesnar showing up, well, we all know I don't like Brock Lesnar. And, well, so I don't want to be just like, oh, I don't want him to show up. Because if he is just here to have, like, a match with Reigns and then put him over, I have time for that. I would watch the match.
Yep.
Because I feel like that might force Reigns to do something else.
But we've seen it a lot,
cause too. Because Lesnar's, but this is different. Reigns has never been heel with Lesnar before.
I guess.
And so I think because...
So does that make Lesnar a babyface?
I guess.
Amazing.
And because Lesnar's like... His matches, like, in the past 5 years at the very least have been like... He doesn't sell a lot, right? Like,
no.
Or like for long periods of time like Reigns matches have been. So right. That might force a bit of change, right?
Yep.
And but if this is Reigns losing the title, I think that... They can't do that. I think it has to be Big E. You could argue Brock wins and then Big E cashes in on Brock and that's the feud. But no, I think Reigns has been built up for the past year as this unstoppable force. And then I feel like it would really mean a lot for Big E to win. And Brock just needs to be a challenger.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't need to win.
I don't know what their plans are, but clearly they're not competing with AEW, right? Like, just having two major returns on one show right after CM Punk's just a total coincidence, I'm sure.
Yes.
Overall thoughts, way too long, no matches that were amazing at all, and several that were really bad. 4+ hours of my time with not one thing that got me excited, honestly. I'm going to sound like one of those AEW marks for saying this, but I've find it hard to be impressed, like I said, by any main roster WWE matches.
And it's weird because, like, it's not even like the, like, if there's something good, like, for example, on NXT, then we'll say if there was something good here,
yep.
I would have said
of course. If I liked something, I'll say I liked it. But I see stuff better on a weekly basis on TV, let alone pay-per-views. It's probably not fair to compare, I guess. WWE is a really different style in-ring, and again, is sports entertainment.
I guess that's the issue, then.
Versus wrestling, I guess, and that's the issue. But we can safely say I much prefer the style in AEW. So I this is the lowest rating I've given anything since we started. I'm giving this a D+. Like, there were a few okay matches here, but this is SummerSlam. This is supposed to be the summer WrestleMania.
If this was WrestleMania Backlash was this bad, for example... That's a little different. I mean, I would still be really mad, but that's a little different.
So there was like a ton of matches. I didn't love any of them, and a bunch of them were really bad, and the segments that were on were bad as well. So bad. This was not good.
Yeah, this was really bad. It was 4 hours of my life I will never get back.
Right.
The pre-show match was meh. The opener was probably the best thing on the show, and it wasn't even that good.
Nope. 7 minutes.
Right. Let me think. I honestly can't remember. The Bliss Marie match. It was bad and wasn't even like bad enough to be funny.
No.
Priest versus Sheamus was solid, but still not my cup of tea. And I guess good for Priest, but
yeah, like whatever. I like that match fine.
I guess the tag title match was like whatever, and like the Usos are capable so much more. Dominic is clearly the odd one out here. If Mysterio was teaming with someone else, might have been good. The SmackDown Women's title match was not a match and probably the dumbest decision they made on the show, perhaps.
There was a few, so that's saying something.
Jinder McIntyre was another squash and probably worse as a match. The Triple Threat did nothing for me. That was boring. I didn't like Edge Rollins. Any of the segments were, like, dumb and pointless and dragged out an already long show. And the two world title matches featured stars who should not be featured and just bored me to death, essentially. And Lesnar, I don't care. This is just really boring for me, and I agree with you. Like, this was supposed to be SummerSlam, so I'll agree with that rating.
D plus?
Yes.
Bad show. All right, let's transition into one that was a better, I would hope we can safely say.
I think by default it was better.
And that happened on Sunday night, which was interesting, and that was NXT TakeOver 36. So the opening match for this one was LA Knight versus Cameron Grimes with the Butler stipulation, right? If Grimes wins, he gets the belt, and if Knight wins, DiBiase becomes his butler. So for this one, Grimes picks up the win after DiBiase punches Knight out on the floor and puts him in the Million Dollar Dream after distracting the ref.
Which looked kind of lame, but
sort of, he slid the belt into the ring to cause the distraction. Knight gets rolled back in the ring. Grimes hits the cave-in to end it. What did you think?
So I thought this was a fine match, but honestly, it didn't offer much new from their previous matches, and not really what I want from an opener. I feel like this would work a little better in the middle of the show, I feel like. And this really makes me wish Escobar and Swerve was on the card, because that would be an awesome opener.
Yeah, that would be great.
Or even MSK defending against someone. Like, you've got grizzled young veterans there. Like, I would honestly, even if it's like a hasty 1 or 2 week build, I would take that. I would gladly take that as an opener.
Yeah, I thought, sorry.
The finish wasn't great, but overall, I thought it was a good match. And Grimes got the win, so good for him. And hopefully this ends this.
Agreed.
NXT this week did seem to kind of confirm that, thankfully.
So yeah, I thought it was a good match. Nothing spectacular, because we've seen these two together multiple times recently. I appreciated the serious tone throughout. There was no real comedy in this, because the segments have been largely comedy-based. So they kept the match serious, which I prefer. I thought Grimes looks really good. He controlled the bulk of the action in this one. Knight did his job as a heel. The crowd was pretty into this match. I wouldn't exactly call it a hot opener, but maybe a tier below that. I enjoyed it. And I do hope that the story comes to a close and that everybody can just move on to something else. We then get Dakota Kai versus Raquel Gonzalez for the NXT Women's Championship. So Gonzalez retains with her finishing sort of choke bomb off the second rope after she got caught. She caught a running kick attempt by Dakota Kai.
I think it's like the one-arm powerbomb is what it is.
Yeah, whatever. I don't know whatever it's called. But she hit her finisher from the second rope. I don't want to get into
it. They call it like the Chiquita bomb or whatever.
And then
that's her phrase.
Kaylee Ray is the surprise here. She comes out, which I love, to stare down Raquel Gonzalez.
I like that better than either of the SummerSlam surprises.
Right. What did you think?
So I liked it. Other than a few iffy spots,
there
it was
were.
A solid match. I'd be lying if I say I didn't expect more from them.
Right.
The feud I think has been pretty good. I think both of them are capable of good matches. I kind of expected that to translate into this match working together. After Kai's amazing promo, I was really hoping they would finally give her a chance at the top, but it was not to be tonight. And I wasn't like 100% like, I didn't think she was gonna win, but I was kind of hoping, and I thought there was a chance.
Right.
And it didn't feel enough like the bitter match it's supposed to be, between former friends. It was still good, but it should have been better than it was. And I really think Kai should have won. I think she's really good. It's great to see Kaylee Ray make the NXT main, because she's pretty good.
Love her.
She needs to move on from NXT UK after her monster title run.
Mm-hmm.
She does belong at the top of the card, but I'm afraid putting her right at Gonzalez may result in an immediate loss. Hopefully they don't do that. This might just be to get eyes on it, I guess.
Yeah, could be.
But if they do book that, that'll be really good.
Yep. I like the story and the build to this match, and I also really like the contrast in size, as Gonzalez is really big and Kai is really tiny. There were a few awkward spots in this. I agree with you. Way more than either of these women usually have, right? It was kind of weird that them together, they seemed to have a few issues. That being said, I did still enjoy the match too, for the most part. It didn't quite deliver on the level I'd hoped for either. I think that's what you're saying too. I didn't feel the hatred between these two that we're really supposed to feel, right? Because they were best friends, partners.
Right.
And it felt like it could have just been two people fighting for the title, right? I don't even know if I felt the underlying story really present there. I did love seeing Kaylee Ray. Also, she's awesome, and I like that she's being treated a little better than when Frankie Monet debuted, right? So Kaylee Ray's here. She's immediately to the, like, coming out to challenge the top of the card, it looks like. And then Monet was, like, Monet, right at the, like, bottom.
No, and it was, like, the whole dog thing.
Yes, with the little dog. So then, oh, by the way, did we pick, what were our picks for Grimes Butler? Did we both get that?
We both got that one right, and then you got this one.
Nice. Yummy. So we then move on to the next match, which was Ilya Dragunov versus Walter, oh boy, for the NXT UK Championship. So Dragunov ends up winning here, an absolute war, which I think you got and I didn't.
Oh, because, yeah, so we're tied.
Yep. So Walter taps out, actually, which I was a bit surprised
to see. That surprised me. I figured Dragunov would win because I feel like
he
deserved, but that's surprising.
Tapped out to a rear naked choke, right?
Which is ironically one of his moves as well.
This match was pretty nuts. What did you think of it?
What a match, and leagues ahead of the entire SummerSlam show,
it's
I think.
It's the best thing I saw all weekend.
If I were to combine...
I watched a lot
of
stuff.
If I had to grade this compared to the entire SummerSlam show, this wins.
Yeah.
You can see Dragunov had to change it up, and I felt like he used more ground wrestling and submissions.
To start, for sure.
Which was... And, right, and he even won with submission, which that's pretty impressive.
Yep.
I picked him to win, but I still can't believe he made Walter tap. I would have thought he would win with a Torpedo
Moscow.
Booking
him strong, man.
Dragunov passed out in their first match, and Walter actually tapped. So I think that's really great for Dragunov, because, like, even Walter couldn't make Dragunov tap. He passed out, but Walter actually tapped. So I think that's pretty interesting. There are some absolutely, like, mental strikes, and
crazy.
I like Dragunov having to win with something else to finally beat Walter. It showed, like, he had to dig deep, like, as they would say. I doubt their first match could ever be top, but this is a great second match and a match that you're contender.
Right, and, like, what are your chances, not to harp on this, but what are your chances of seeing something like this on main rosters anywhere? Yep. Nothing,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. And it's... I want to say it's weird. It's like late in the year, and I can't think of many Match of the Year contenders so far.
Not yet. We should have had a document open and added to it, because it's going to be tough to... So yeah, I felt like it was almost a conscious decision at the beginning of this to work a different style for a while here. And it made sense, right? Because I think storyline-wise, Dragunov learned in the first match that you can't just keep getting into a strike exchange with Walter, right? Like, you're not going to come out ahead if you're just going to be like, yeah, let's chop each other and see who wins. So he changed his strategy, which makes sense. And then once Walter does get a hold of Dragunov, he doesn't have the opportunity to do anything but engage in that intense physicality again once Walter has a hold of him. And that favors Walter. And then the second half of this was nuts and more reminiscent of the first match they had. I did like the first match better too, but this was still fantastic, right? I'm really happy for Dragunov. He deserves this. Walter actually tapping out is like a feather in Dragunov's cap, right? Like, most people can't even touch Walter, let alone tap him out. Walter had an amazing run, and I would have been fine if it kept going, but I think it's time for a new champion, and I've been watching NXT UK pretty regularly. Dragunov is the only believable contender on that roster right now.
Right, which is why I picked him, because I feel like it's like...
If you're going to move it off Walter, that's your
chance.
Even
Tommaso Ciampa I didn't buy, because he's not from there, and,
right.
Like, despite him being incredible.
It's a terrific match. My notes at the time, I had not sure how it won't be match of the night. It was match of the night, match of the show, match of the weekend. I watched, like, 4 different pay-per-views on the weekend, and this was the best thing I saw, so... Fantastic work by them. We then see Grimes and DiBiase. They're talking to Mackenzie backstage. DiBiase is proud of Grimes, hands Grimes money, and Grimes announces $1 million celebration that will go on for days, I guess.
All right, I just made a doc for the best of so we can get started.
Nice. Regal approaches Samoa Joe ahead of his match tonight. Regal tries to say he has to stay unbiased, but in the end, he says he hopes that Joe kicks Cross's ass and entertains the fans. So the next match we get is the Undisputed Finale, 2 out of 3 falls, with regular match, street fight, steel cage match, if necessary. And that is Kyle O'Reilly facing Adam Cole. It's 1-1 in this series, so this is the big blow-off match for this. Could be the blow-off match for Cole in NXT, could be the blow-off match for Cole in WWE. We don't really know yet. But anyways, O'Reilly wins the third fall and wins the match after Cole handcuffs O'Reilly to the ropes. Lands 2 stiff super kicks and some taunts, but Kyle catches the third super kick attempt, puts on a heel hook with his one good arm, and Adam Cole taps out. So another tap out on this card, right? So just to get into a little bit of details, the first fall was over really quickly, right? I think in 3 minutes.
Yeah, I really didn't like how Cole looked. in this match.
I liked his facial expression when he lost.
Well, yeah.
That looked amazing.
Because, one, he lost in 3 minutes in the first fall. And then, two, he looks kind of stupid in the last fall because he could have just super kicked O'Reilly, like, once or twice and then walked out and got out of the cage. He didn't have to keep going
right.
and cost himself the match.
And it's funny, too, because if you think about if this were just a regular match and not a two out of three falls, Cole would have lost in 3 minutes, right? Which would seem really strange.
Right. So, like...
Yeah.
And so now that you point that out, I don't like that this stipulation is kind of an excuse for them to, like, oh, he can lose quick.
Yeah. In the second fall, the street fight, the one big thing was Kyle. They put the two chairs back to back again because Cole took that bump last time. But this time it's O'Reilly getting thrown off the top rope onto those chairs. Looked just brutal. And then a last shot and Cole wins that second fall. And then in the cage stops lowering, right? And then so they... Cole powerbombs Kyle onto the announce table as the cage isn't fully down yet. And then there's a long break. They re-engage. Top rope knee drop as Cole hangs over the ropes, etc., etc. Panama Sunrise for a near fall at one point. And then that finishing sequence I described at the beginning. So how did you feel with O'Reilly winning this? How did you feel about the match?
So I thought the first fall was lame. Too short. And Cole should not be losing any standard wrestling match that quick. He's like... one of the best currently, so I really don't think that makes sense.
It was an odd choice, I thought.
I don't think the Three Stages of Hell stipulation is an excuse. I thought the second fall was probably the best of the three, with some cool spots. And the cage fall didn't use the cage a ton, felt a little short as well. I feel like this should have been the main event, given the match stipulation and how this is such a bitter feud. And I think Cole should have won unless he's on his way out, which mm-hmm. makes sense.
Looks like he might be.
Good match, but I still like the Great American Bash match the best. Just like a straightforward match. And I feel like the placement on the card for this doesn't exactly help.
Mm-hmm.
I really hope if Cole leaves, I really hope he goes to AEW, but I'm afraid he could be main roster bound. I'm going to be really mad if he turns up on Raw or SmackDown. More so Raw, but because Vince has a horrible track record with NXT call-ups, and he's not a fan of small guys, not to mention a renewed push towards the younger and bigger guys, which all that does not bode well for Cole. If Vince had half a brain, Cole is a future champ, but Vince is Vince. I thought Baszler's call-up was bad, and I would fear for Cole more.
Yeah, I would rather he leaves the company than goes main roster.
Yes.
Stay in NXT, go to AEW, or...
nothing.
Nothing, I guess. I was surprised by the length of the first fall of this, for sure. Made this even more decisive win for Kyle, really. He won two out of three falls, and one of them he killed him, right? So.
Right. I mean, it was a sit-down pin, but still.
I like the match, but much like the Grimes Knight match, we've seen these guys battle a lot recently. Still a good match that likely means the end of Cole in NXT. Is nothing left to accomplish here. And he helped his best friend, Kyle, good friend at least, Kyle, on the way out. Quality win for Kyle O'Reilly hopefully means there's still plans for him, although I'm not sure I see him as a future champion at this point. If Cole leaves, I also fear how he's going to be used, especially if it's main roster, obviously. But also, buddy, my hope is he's just so damn good, right? That he's one of those, like, undeniably, and maybe he'll just break through because
he's that
good. Yeah, but I
could have said that about a lot of...
But Baszler's people. Not the same in terms of, like, promo ability and character ability. Like, Cole's got all the boxes other than size.
I mean, and Vince
right?
likes Shawn Michaels.
He's the closest thing to Shawn Michaels, man. And I don't say that lightly at all. He reminds me of Shawn Michaels in a lot of ways. He can do everything. I think he's a better promo than Shawn Michaels, frankly, considerably. And I'm not even as big a Cole fan as you are, right? But the guy's undeniably good. So that's the hope, is that they just can't, because he's great. So this was a strong match. And the second one tonight, I would say I preferred to anything on SummerSlam, right?
Yes.
I think. So two out of six Absolutely. Matches were better than any of
I
what
think,
the 11.
I think I would prefer everything on TakeOver to SummerSlam just by default.
Yep. So Dragunov is then interviewed by McKenzie, and he basically says the ring general is dead and long live the Tsar. Legado Fantasma rundown. Hit Row announced that they will be in a six-man tag match on Tuesday. Escobar says he will last laughs best. Then we move into the main event of this, which is returning Samoa Joe to NXT, facing the champion Karrion Kross for the NXT championship. And this one, Joe won a fairly quick match for a main event with a kick to Kross's head as he's seated on the top rope, followed by bringing back of the Muscle Buster for the clean pinfall win. A couple things I noticed we want Scarlet Chance as Kross made his entrance. I also noticed Hardy chance as the match was starting, right? So Cross has been killed. Like, honestly, I think he's pretty
and
much
if
a
you've
joke.
Seen how he
he's
debuted
a joke
on Raw.
In NXT where they actually won't treat him
if
like a joke.
If you saw him on Raw after he lost in his new gear,
yeah.
Oh my god.
With the mask. What did you think? What did you think of this match?
The second he left NXT. A fine match, but not like great for a takeover main event. I'm sure Joe will be able to put on far better matches after Cross is gone, which I guess he is. I did like the return of the Muscle Buster as the finish, so that's a cool way to end it. It wasn't even my favorite Cross match, probably. That would have to go to either the match he had with Gargano or the five-way, which...
The multi-man, yeah.
Which, was,
sure.
That's a multi-man match, yep. So... this is still fine. I don't like Cross, so I was never going to care about this a ton. And he was hurt even more by his main roster treatment, and I can only hope it starts full-time, which it seems it will.
I think so. I don't think it was a top-notch takeover main event either, but I thought it was pretty good still. Cross's appearances on the main roster for sure hurt my interest personally. I can't speak for anyone else, but I'm glad to see Joe win. Cross's run was lackluster. Neither of us really enjoyed it, right? What's the term I'm looking for? He's a sports entertainer, right? So he doesn't really
He's
fit in.
He's not even entertaining.
He doesn't really fit in NXT for me. I didn't think this was great. I don't really blame Joe. Cross doesn't seem like the easiest guy to have a great match with, but I don't think it was bad either. But, I mean, you'd hope for the main event to be the top match on the show, but it doesn't hold a candle to Dragunov Walter, I don't think. So,
that's freaking Dragunov Walter.
Decent main event, but not great. Mm-hmm. Overall, thoughts and a grade?
I thought there was nothing bad on the show, but not the best takeover, if I'm being honest.
I agree,
the
somewhere
opener
in the
was good, I guess, but not super interesting for me, and I don't think any other matches have been takeover worthy for me. Hopefully this is wrapped up for a story over essentially a fictional title.
Mm-hmm.
The women's match was good too. I guess it was a little above the opener, but I honestly really expected more from these two, because I really like them both, and they've both had much better matches.
Yep.
I think. And hope both of them stay in NXT so then they can maybe have another go. That may have to wait for Kaylee Ray, but I would have time for that as well. Walter Dragunov 2 was great for sure, and for sure the match of the night. Not as good as the first, but they gave it their best effort, and it's a not too distant second.
Yeah,
right?
I agree. It was close.
Like, I don't think that first one will ever be eclipsed, but this is like about as good as you could
do. The first one was just like the shock factor of seeing them just beat the hell out of each other. And then
this,
the second
you
one, you know that's coming, right?
Right.
So that's
so,
a little
but
different.
But they did about as good as
yeah,
they
could
do.
Yeah, still fantastic.
You can see the difference between the two matches given the evolution of their feud. And it was also great, just the evolution of the feud and evolution of Dragunov.
Yes.
Like, to the point where I think he'll be a good champion for
Me
NXT
too.
UK. Cole versus O'Reilly was good, with the second fall being my favorite, not just because Cole won, but I thought it was the most lengthy, it had the most time to give you something, right?
Yep.
There we go. I forgot where I was.
It's okay.
A good win for Kyle. I thought hopefully Cole goes to AEW, not to the main roster. Given the stipulation and bitter feud, this should have been main evented, but whatever. Speaking of, the main event was fine. Not really what I would like from a takeover main event, because Cross. And I think Cole O'Reilly would have been better suited. Glad Joe won, though, and hopefully Cross is finally gone with a few solid matches, a good one, and a great one. I'd probably give this a B. Nothing bad on the show, just a little underwhelming compared to some other takeovers, but still top SummerSlam, which is not saying much, but still.
Very similar to my thoughts. I thought nothing really bad on this show, unlike multiple things on SummerSlam, right?
SummerSlam was just, it was gross.
There were some things I don't think were up to takeover's high standards, but that's sort of, they've created this monster of just like almost every match on every show was fantastic for
Although,
a while, right? It's a tough thing to
keep up. At least they weren't
up.
Putting stuff like Mercedes Martinez versus Xia Li on the show.
The opener and the women's match I thought were good, but not great. I expected more from the women's match specifically. The Walter Dragunov match was amazing, easily match of the night and the weekend for me. Kyle and Cole had a very good match, but honestly, I think being on the same card as Walter Dragunov hurt that one and the women's match, since like despite the lengthy builds, neither match could match the intensity of the Walter Dragunov, right? So it's this idea that those were supposed to be long, bitter feuds culminating in this match as well. But the intensity, when you watch the match from the UK guys, you're like,
right.
That's intensity. The main event was fine. Hardly a takeover classic, I think, as you're saying. Pretty much a two-match show for me, with the women's match being underwhelming. The other two, pretty much what I expected. So nothing bad. One match was good, one match was amazing, and I agree with you. I think that sounds like a really solid B grade for this show. Not one of the stronger takeovers, I don't think, but at only 2.5 hours and with one absolutely fantastic match, it was still an easy watch, right? Like, I would recommend, obviously, the Walter and Dragunov match, and then if you end up watching the rest of the show, you're not wasting your time. Whereas SummerSlam, what, 3 or 4 matches, I'm like, this felt like a waste of time.
The segments were a waste of time.
So much better than that. A good takeover, but not a great one, and there's been a lot of great ones, frankly. So, well, I think we're done, buddy.
Mm-hmm.
Yay! So that's going to bring us to the end of this episode of the podcast. We're still looking for time to talk about Impact Wrestling Emergence. I know it's almost a week away from now. I may just come back down later and talk about it briefly. But thanks for joining us and giving us any time to listen to us talk about wrestling. You can for sure look for us back here on Saturday with episode, 58, I think, of the main...
Yep, I believe so.
Of the main show, where we'll talk about Dynamite and NXT and Impact Wrestling, maybe touch on Rampage a little bit. We'll see how much we get done, and some trivia and some other stuff. So please feel free to join us on Saturday. Send us some feedback. We'd love to hear from anyone. I promise you'll get a response from us. fnswrestling@gmail.com, fns_wrestling_podcast on Instagram, or leave a comment if you're listening on YouTube, and we will get back to you. So I look forward to seeing you guys all back here on Saturday, if not before. And until then, take care.